In June of 2019, Netflix pulled back the curtain on Clarence Avant, a black man from Greensboro, North Carolina, born in the 1930s, who rose to become one of the most influential black persons in entertainment. Best friends with Quincy Jones, mentor to a slew of black entertainers of all stripes, and supporter of politicians, this documentary pulled out all the stops, featuring two former presidents and a whole list of A-list black stars to tell their stories of Clarence Avant. On this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we're going to be taking a look at the Black Godfather.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not anything you get is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. We doggy. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PACS Inc., a black activist advocacy and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for black people in America through education, culture shift, and economics. You can check them out at PACSinc.org. That's www.PACTSINC.org. Go ahead, leave a comment, leave a review, go to the Learning Center and read something and leave a review there. Leave a donation, become a member, take a survey, tell a friend to tell a friend. Do whatever you can to help them because they're doing everything they can to help you. And without further ado, you know what it do. We bring to you the movie who we are going to review in this show. Not review, give a preview. Whatever. We're going to be talking about The Black Godfather, the new Netflix documentary about Clarence Avant. So, this is one of those documentaries that is more inspirational or maybe aspirational, or it's not really a documentary meant to convey information in the typical sense of the documentaries that I like to watch. It is a documentary that is focused on one person, and it is focused on the life and times of that person as what we would call, what I would call, a dark worker, which is something that drew me to the documentary because I view myself as being kind of a dark worker in a lot of regards. And Clarence Avant is very much a behind-the-scenes figure. He's very much somebody that operates in the shadows, making things happen, that doesn't demand a lot of limelight for what he's done. And he's still alive, and he's continuing, from what I can tell, to do a lot of the things to shape the entertainment industry and to shape politics. So in that sense, it was a very, very, very interesting look at this man. And when I say the star-studded cast was there and in force, it was there and in force. You're talking about Bill Clinton and Barack Obama as former presidents, both of them in the documentary speaking about them. You're talking about Kamala Harris, who is currently running for president, being there and talking about it. You're talking about Al Sharpton, Snoop Dogg. You're talking about Lionel Richie, L.A. Reid. You're talking about Babyface, Puff Daddy, Jim Brown. You know, you just go down the list. Quincy Jones, who, you know, is his best friend from what you could make out from the film. You just go down the line and you find just A-list celebrity and prominent politician after A-list celebrity and prominent individual talking about this man and what he has done for them and what he means to the industry. And in that, it was very effective at really getting you to accept and believe the concept that this man was a forced and remains to be a force to be reckoned with. The documentary does a very good job of conveying the message that he is significant and he is somebody that made a successful living off of helping other people. And he is somebody that should be recognized and paid tribute to for the work he's done in the community and for America as a whole. The documentary does a very good job of painting that picture. And so with that, you know, if you're interested in biopics and things of that nature, tributes and things of that nature, this documentary is right up that alley, is right up that vein. It's a typical documentary with all of the talking heads. It's not a lot of fluff, not a lot of gruff. It's just various scenes of people talking about Clarence Avant, what he's done for them, and various scenes of him talking about various episodes in his own life. His family, his daughter is there. She's actually one of the producers of the film, and his son is there, and he noticed, you know, he seemed noticeably less enthused about what was going on, but, you know, they speak to that as well about the differences in the perspectives that they both had about the life that they lived and the connection they have with their father in relation to the connection that everyone else has with their father. So this is a film that is very much, it's 2 hours long, and there isn't much more to say about that without spoiling the film or without giving away so much that you wouldn't really need to or want to watch it anymore. So with that being said, I'm not going to draw this out. I'm going to jump right into my conclusions and my opinions about the film. There. So the outlook of the film was interesting because the film tried to paint a picture of a man that the man himself didn't seem to agree with. And this was actually stated by one of the speakers in the film when they said, you know, they believe that he is this way. And of course, he would deny that and say that he is this way. But they believe that he is this way. And he himself said throughout the film that I am about dollars. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Everything in life is numbers. He repeatedly spoke to the fact that he was all about his money, all about his numbers, all about doing his figures. Even at the tail end of the film, he spoke to the fact that the only thing that would make his life better is if he woke up with Warren Buffett or Bill Gates money. But throughout the film, it tried to paint a narrative of a man that was not driven by money. And so it created this interesting little contradiction that ran throughout the course of the film, where you had him saying one thing about himself and who he is, and the film portraying or slanting it in a different light. And I honestly think that that is the case because the film was clearly not a fair, balanced, neutral, and objective look at one of the most powerful black men in entertainment history. The film is more of a tribute to him than it is a biopic of him. It had his biographer in there talking, but a lot of what she was saying, a lot of her screen time was very little. Most of the screen time was filled with entertainers, celebrities, and politicians talking about him and talking about how he had helped them at a difficult time in their lives. And there wasn't very much talk about what he was actually doing for people, and except giving them advice and making connections. But there was a lot of talk about how he would go in these meetings, or how he would go here, or how he would go there and do this, or do, you know, or be this place or be that place. And things would just kind of work themselves out. But there was never really any concrete discussion about what he was able to do in a lot of the spaces that made him so much more effective than anyone else that was in those spaces. And I think that's not a criticism on him. I'm just saying that in order for this to be a true biographic or biopic account or a true neutral look at a man's life, then you have to include those types of details about how he was able to make certain things happen, how he was able to make magic happen. And I'm not saying that that was never disclosed, because it was disclosed in a few instances, but the vast majority of the stories are he arranged this, he orchestrated that, or, you know, I called him up and it got taken care of. And so I understand with the nature of dealing with a dark figure, that's difficult to do, to get the specifics, because dark figures don't like limelight and they keep everything quiet. But they had all of the people involved in a lot of the negotiations still alive and on screen. So I don't know why those people weren't more apt or weren't pressed to delve into more of the details of what transpired when he got his mojo working. You know, and one of the most prominent things to me that stood out about what he did in a positive aspect was the fact that, you know, he saved Soul Train, and he prevented a white equivalent from coming on air and trying to run Soul Train off the television. It's extremely powerful, because we know how significant Soul Train is to all of us. And here you have this man being single-handedly credited with saving Soul Train. That is significant. Even if you don't care about anything else as a black person in America that this man may have done, that alone is significant enough to be remembered. And I think a big problem with the contradiction and the tributary vibe of everything is that you are facing a man that is in the very, very late stages of his life. I believe he's in his late 70s, if not early 80s. And I believe because the film was produced by his daughter, who is clearly paying tribute to her father before he moves on. And he's not ill or anything like that. He's still alive and well. But, you know, at you know, when you're that late in life, basically death is sooner than later. So, and I mean a lot sooner. So it just came off more as a tribute than a documentary. And so I also think that contributed a lot of it to the contribution. You know, and even her story being interesting in itself, with her coming up the way she came up underneath him, she tried to talk a little bit about the hardships they experienced when he bought a radio station and he signed, you know, he was signing all these music acts and none of it was working out. In terms of his record label and his radio station, and he went broke and he was getting ready to sell his house. Even the details about all that, it was a 2-hour documentary. That whole downturn in his life and in the lives and the financial status of his family was only about 5 or 10 minutes of the entire documentary. It was maybe 10, 15 minutes. 5 is cutting it short, but it was maybe 10, 15 minutes. The entire documentary was talking about this down point in his life. The rest of it was just purely tributary, purely positive spin. And not saying spin in a negative way, but just it was purely positive. It didn't feel neutral. It didn't feel fair. It didn't feel balanced. And it didn't feel genuine either, especially when you have him sitting there counteracting and contradicting the messages being presented in the film with his very own words. But to me, that made it more appealing to watch, and as a form of entertainment, not as a form of a biographical or a documentary informational piece, but just as a piece of entertainment to watch how this film was trying to spin him one way and how he was refusing to be spun. And I don't want to go into a lot of details about that, because, again, that would be giving away the film. But if you check it out, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But if you boil all this down, what you get is a story of a black man who was in the right place at the right time, got linked up with the right white people, and made use of white guilt and being the token Negro and developing connections with powerful people for the benefit of those he deemed worthy of benefiting. And that's really how you can boil down the Clarence Avant story in one phrase, in my opinion, from what we saw from this documentary. Now, that's not anything negative about Clarence or anything like that, but we do have to face the fact that he got his break because a white man gave him a break. And that's essentially how he got all of his breaks. I understand he was a club manager before the white man made him a manager of an act and before all of these other things happened. And I understand even with Success Records, when he started his own record label, that was him. And nobody necessarily signed off on that or gave him permission or threw anything in his lap. But I also recognize that none of that would have been possible without a lot of the handouts that he had received from white people early on. So I do, you know, to push, I do have to say that the narrative of him being self-made, which I can't say was totally endorsed in the documentary, but I can say a lot of the people that have watched the documentary that have come and talked to me about it, that vibe that he was purely self-made, that he was purely of his own merits, this, that, and the third, became so powerful. That is not in line with the information presented in the documentary by the man himself. So, you know, I got to push back on that line of reasoning a lot, especially because the more and more popular this documentary gets, the more and more I'm hearing that line of reasoning where people want to just totally negate the influence of white people, agreeable white people, to this man's story. And again, that's not a shot at him, but if we're gonna acknowledge a situation, let's acknowledge the entirety of that situation. So on the whole, I give this film a solid 3 out of 5 stars. It's closer to a 2.5 than a 3.5. The entertainment value is what keeps it there for me. I always like documentaries about black figures, whether I agree with them or not. You can always learn something from the life of black people, whether they're successful or not, in my opinion. I actually feel like you can learn a lot from anybody's life if you take the time to listen. But I couldn't overcome, I couldn't get by the fact that this seemed more like a tribute of a daughter to her father. And this seemed like something that was more kind of a gift, a husband to his wife, because she's married to the chief content officer of Netflix. And, you know, you can make whatever you will out of her relationship with her husband and what that means about what her father tried to instill in her. I'm not getting into that, although I acknowledge that that is a discussion that's being had, and I can't say that it's a totally invalid discussion, but when you're just talking about the documentary itself, it really doesn't play too big of a part in the documentary who she chooses to be with. That's her choice at the end of the day, and it's not a documentary on her or her family or her husband and her relationship with him. It's a documentary about her father. So, but she painted this picture of him as being pro-black and for the community. And the fact is, from what he said himself and from the statements that were made in the film by others, he was somebody who wanted to be seen as his own man. And he was somebody who wanted to help as many people as he could be self-sufficient. But more than any of that, he was somebody who wanted to play by his own rules, and he was somebody who wanted to make his money. And so that, again, is this contradiction throughout the film of him being this pro-black figure, and then you're hearing him say he wasn't down for civil rights. Now, he gave a reason, and I'm not saying the reason is valid or invalid, but I'm saying he did say he wasn't down for civil rights. He hung up on the civil rights organization that called him. People have been making this argument. It's not one that I necessarily want to get into, but it is an argument that has been made about him siding politically with Hillary Clinton over Barack Obama. His daughter obviously chose to to side with Barack Obama, and that's how she ended up becoming the ambassador to the Bahamas during the Obama administration. But throughout the narrative, you had them trying to paint this picture of him being this pro-black man down for his community, when the fact is, when he started his record label, the first act he signed was a white one, just because everybody expected him to sign a black one. You know, there are several instances where he sided, or he decided to put his energy behind white groups or white interests over purely looking at those of his own community. And again, I'm not saying that's positive or negative. I'm just saying that's what it is. That's what happened. And you can judge that how you will. Those of you that are more pro-black and more militant in your thinking will judge that harshly. Those of you that are a little bit more liberal in your pro-blackness, you're not going to see a problem with that. But that's what it was. That's what it is. But I do think, you know, one of the huge takeaways for this is the fact that even though he was given his breaks, a lot of breaks by white people, and even though he was bailed out by white people a lot, and he took it, you know, he was made the token Negro in a lot of circumstances and situations, he did take advantage of those opportunities when it mattered and when it counted to do what was necessary to advance his people. And that has to be acknowledged and accounted for. The rhetoric is not there. Some of the actions don't necessarily line up. But like I said at the start of the show, the saving of Soul Train is significant. You know, the grooming of a lot of these young artists, a lot of the young entertainers and celebrities, moguls in the celebrity industry now, that's significant. Now, those people, an argument could also be made that he helped the people. He didn't help the community so much as he helped a select group of already elite entertainers and celebrities. And that argument is somewhat valid when you think about it and when you look at it from a neutral lens. But it's one of those things where this guy kind of sits in that gray area for a lot of people. And I understand why he sits there, because on the one hand, he did a lot. But on the other hand, in the positions that he was in, people are saying that he could have done more, or that his focus was not on the community, or that his focus was not on the community in a way that was healthy or beneficial for the long term impact of a self-sustaining community, because it was about him and about his rules and about him taking care of the people that he wanted to take care of in his pursuit of money. All in all, though, I don't think this documentary really gives you enough information to really make any finite judgments about who this man is, because it was more of a tribute than an informational piece. Very much so. So, you know, like I said, 3 stars. If you're into this kind of stuff, check it out. It is something that's going to pull you one way or another. You're going to feel some type of way about this guy at the end of this documentary. Either you're going to love him and respect him, or you're going to side-eye him, or you're going to probably be in the middle where you respect him, but you still side-eye him, which is kind of, you know, honestly, which is kind of the space I'm in. You know, especially with the connections that he has with being best friends with Quincy Jones and all of these other things, you know, look, and we'll say this. If you're friends with Quincy Jones and you're black, you're influential in the black community. That's just what it is. But I wish that it had been more informational and less tributary. I wish that it had conveyed more information, more details, more specifics. I wish that it had spent more time talking about the challenges that he overcame. I just wish that it had been a more thorough and in-depth look at his life for 2 hours. And so that's why I just can't give it more than a 3 out of 5 stars. But thank you for tuning in. Let me know what you think about the show. This is one where I just watched the documentary and I recorded it. So I apologize for if I have more ahs and other like placeholder sounds in there than I usually would. Usually I write things out nice, slow, and deliberately, but you know, I'm still growing this podcast. I'm still trying to figure out what's my flow, what's my flavor. And I wanted to see how it would feel to just kind of freestyle a show that I felt something about. And so I chose to do that. But let me know what you think about the Clarence Avant documentary. Let me know what you think about what I said. Am I on base? Am I off base? Let me know what you think about even the freestyling of the show. Let me know what you think about whatever. And I will see you next week on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Alright, I want to thank you guys once again for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen right here on the Freedom Train Network. Remember to go show the Freedom Train Network some love, www.freedomtrainradio.com, spelled just like it sounds. If you can't spell it, I don't know what to tell you. But make sure you also go ahead and check out the Freedom Train Radio app. If you got an Android, we got an app. And if you got an Android and your Android ain't got the app on it, then you ain't cool. And that's all I'm going to say about that. It's in the App Store. Search Freedom Train Radio. You'll see the logo, the choo-choo train, calling your name. So go ahead and get that there. Make sure you show all of the Freedom Train Radio network shows some love. Give them all a hug. Leave a comment on all of the shows that you like. And even the shows that you don't like, leave a comment still telling them you don't like them and you don't like they sucker fish fried eggs. And also want to take more time to tell you guys to go and check out our sponsors, PACS Inc., PACTSINC.org, PACSINC.org. Show them some love. And drop a line on the Freedom Train website. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what shows you think we should try to put together for you. The number one, the world's first black, pro-black podcast directory right here. You know what it is. You know what it does. And we look forward to seeing you, hearing from you, speaking with you, and sharing life with you every week. I will see you next week. This is your boy, Patrick Irvin.